Good afternoon. It is One Bell of the Afternoon Watch, and this is your Captain Joe up in the captain's chair for our weekly gathering together, quarters for muster on the Fantail. My greetings this morning go out to all of Captain Joe's people, regardless of where you are in the political spectrum. Each one of you is precious to me, and each one of you is always in the palm of my hand. I, on purpose, do not delve into politics. I, on purpose, do not tell you how I am voting. And the reason that I do this is because there are much-loved members of the group known as Captain Joe's People who are as far out on the ends of the political life as you can possibly get and not fall off of the planet. And then there are those who are in the middle. I'm going to have a few groups on the election and the results of it in a few minutes, because it is my conviction that each one of you, wherever you are politically, are looking for some expression of conviction and confidence from your captain, and I never want to let any of you down. So I am going to be talking about it briefly, but before we do that, I am going to get on to the binnacle list. The binnacle list this week has a couple of people I should have known about and should have remarked upon, and for reasons which are not even clear to me, I did not. One of my administrators on the Coast Guard Channel had a very serious facial cancer removed. I've seen a photograph of him, and he remains as handsome in that photograph as he always has been, but he does look as if he may have been battered around a little bit, possibly in an over-enthusiastic liberty call. In any case, John is recovering nicely, and I recognize his place on the recovering part of the binnacle list, and the same thing is true of my good friend, the doctor here on the island, who is my historian friend. Pacemaker, some other heart equipment. He is freighted down. He lists to port with all of the stuff that he's got inside him now, which was just done, and from which he is recovering nicely. We've talked before about Kurt, and I got a message today that Kurt's parents and Kurt himself will be coming to my birthday celebration on Saturday at the O Space, and I'll mention that again a little bit farther on. And finally, Ed in Florida, my much-loved Ed and Janice, who gave me the chair, which graces my deck, and the Fresnel lens, which also graces my deck, has been falling. And so, Ed, from the captain, it is, as always, one hand for yourself, one hand for the ship. In the last weekend, I made a trip to Los Angeles for the annual meeting of the Steamship Historical Society, an organization of which I've been a member for a number of years, probably 50 years, 40 or 50 years. And during the course of this meeting, somebody had pointed out to the organizers that on the 8th of November, which was the day that we had the first of the gatherings, that it was my 90th birthday. There, I've said it, 90. I keep saying that it's really my 50th birthday, but it really is my 90th. Isn't that a kick in the butt? And so the entire group in the observation bar in Queen Mary sang the birthday song for your captain. And then when we got to the day before Veterans Day, there was another meeting, and all of the veterans who were members of the organization and who were there were recognized. The following day, which was the Veterans Day itself, Monday, yesterday, 11th of November, I made my way from Queen Mary to LAX, Los Angeles International Airport, LAX, airline code LAX, a truly miserable place. And I made my way, first of all, to turn in my rental car, and then from there to Terminal 7. And at each one of these places, I was looking for some recognition that this was indeed not only Veterans Day, but commemorating the end of the First World War, the 11th month, the 11th day, and the 11th hour. Now, hanging off of the port bow of Queen Mary was a very large American flag, and on one of the promenades, they had set up a small but significant display. And they thanked all of us who have served. So I thought to myself, United Airlines can do no less. But I was to be disappointed. I checked in by a lovely young lady, got a paper boarding pass. I always take paper boarding passes. I do not trust even the Andy phone to get me aboard an airplane onto which I've been booked. Collected my paper boarding pass and headed toward the gate by way of the United Club. I said to myself, surely United Airlines, after all, United is the first part of the words United States. Surely United Airlines, many of their pilots, many of their both captains, aircraft commanders, and their XOs, or what airline terminology calls first officers, to me they're XOs, all of them, most of them have their flight training came from the military. So I am thinking to myself, certainly United Airlines is going to recognize in some, if not truly significant, at least making their number way of Veterans Day. And once again, I was to be disappointed. I board the aircraft. I plop my ample stern sheets down into seat 2 Echo. And I go through the pre-flight briefing. I always take out the card and follow along because I do indeed believe that often there are changes in different aircraft, even aircraft which are of the 737-800/900. There are differences in the aircraft. And so I always take out the card and I always follow along. I always identify the closest exit, all of those things. I am a good passenger. I am the good captain and the good passenger. And I rehearse in my mind how I would behave and how I would help out should it be necessary to evacuate one of those aluminium tubes. Aluminium is the English pronunciation. It's one of my affectations. So the pre-flight briefing goes on. The purser, who is a lady, a pregnant lady, actually, then gives a little bit more, including the stern warning to remain seated whenever the fasten seatbelt sign, do not get up. And I'm waiting for some recognition that our captain, and painfully young lady also, was going to be recognized as one of the veterans. Silence on this subject. So as soon as the fastened seatbelt sign was extinguished, I made my first and mercifully only necessary head call on that particular flight. After all, it was only just under 2 hours because they were way ahead of schedule. And after I came out of the head, I approached the purser and I said to purser lady, I suspect that our captain is a veteran. I suspect that XO is a veteran. I know, because I am one, that there are veterans on this aircraft. It would please me mightily if you were to recognize that. And so she did. And so we were recognized, albeit reluctantly, by United Airlines Flight 262, LAX to SEA. I tell this little story because this kind of recognition is really important to me, that all of you who are Captain Joe's people who have served, all of you who took the same oath that I did when I was 17, my mother had to give permission for me to go into the service. All of us who have taken that oath did so with the understanding that we would be called to serve in ways that we knew not at the time that we took the oath, and certainly that is the way it was with me. And so it's important to me that this recognition happen. So I tell this story because that leads into my commentary about the election. It is now a week since we all voted as a nation. It is a week since we have made our choices. And it is a week in which those on one side of the political spectrum have been overjoyed and in some cases looking for revenge. And on the other side of the political spectrum, dumped into the darkness of despair. I say to you now, it is time for all of those things to end and for each one of Captain Joe's people to be a part of that wonderful expression that comes to us from West Point. Duty, honor, country. The book this week is the same as it was last week, because if there was ever a time for us to acknowledge that we have a duty to be the best that we can be, we have a duty to be a part of the working together. This is going to be a challenging time, but I see this as a time of great opportunity for every single American. It is time for us to look at our institutions and to see whether or not there are reforms that might productively be put into train. There are people on both sides who are of a malignant personality. And this has been true since the beginning of the Republic. All you need to do, read David McCullough's biography of John Adams, which was one of my books some time ago. And you'll realize that there was wickedness afoot all the way through the revolutionary process. It is no less true today. At the same time, and it is my conviction that these are in the majority rather than the minority on both sides and at both ends and in the middle of our political experiment, people who are true patriots, people who's looking at the political world of this great experiment in democracy that we call the United States, that they have the best interests of the country at heart. Charles Dickens, when he wrote The Tale of Two Cities, which was set in the French Revolution, and the two cities, of course, were Paris and London, said at the beginning of the story, it was the best of times and it was the worst of times. We can, should we choose to do it, make these the best of times. But in order for that to happen, people of goodwill, people of political integrity, people of moral strength have to be willing to make themselves known. I will do the best that I can in that regard. Each one of you, wherever you sit on the political scale, are precious to me, and each one of you is entitled to, because you are a citizen of this great land, entitled to your beliefs, your convictions, and you are entitled to act on them. What you are not entitled to do, regardless of where you are politically, or emotionally, or morally, or ethically, is to destroy, or to attempt to destroy, or to take actions that destroy the integrity of the political fiber of this great land. And in particular, the people that live here. Some, most citizens, some are not. So, well, Captain Joe, it's fine for you to pontificate from the captain's chair because you live on a place with which you are safe. And that's true. But it was not always, though, in my life. And I will tell you that there are times when I considered taking my command insignia off and putting it on my boss's desk. But it did not become necessary because I was able to convince that superior that, leave me alone, I will take care of my people, I will take care of my commands, I will take care of the mission. All of those things will happen, and they will happen in a moral and ethical way. What can we do, each of us individually? The best thing that we can do is to be a part of the political and operational fabric of the community in which we live. It is not given to us to just ride back on the hawser and to say, there's nothing I can do. There is always something I can do. And in that sense, I'm going to tell you a little story. After I had been relieved in the normal course of events of one of my ships, and I moved on to my next assignment, and I am not going to say which ship it was, and I'm not going to say who the captain was who relieved me, but I am going to say this, that one of the things that happened was that the crew was issued new foul weather jackets. Some of you older hands go back to the times when foul weather jackets were hand-me-downs from one billet occupier to the next, and they were pretty ratty. In this particular ship, new foul weather jackets were issued, and a young sailor who had, one of Captain Joe's people who had been with me before in the crew that I had just left, had gone down into the bosun's hold and had gotten a black felt tip and had marked on the back of the jacket, FTG. The letter F stands for one of the words that I am not allowed to say. Those of you who are adults know what it is. The other two letters stand for the guard, F the guard. It was an expression that probably goes back to 1790. And in any case, in this particular case, this sailor, for one reason or another, had felt that the guard had dealt had not dealt fairly with him. And so he put on this brand new foul weather jacket, FTG, F the guard. His chief got him and took him down into the bosun's locker. Those of you shipboard people know that the bosun's locker is a special and sacred place. It has a wonderful smell, and that smell is a combination of marlin and red lead and all kinds of other smells that are familiar to those who have done their time in the maintenance of small ships in heavy weather. The chief took this sailor down there and he sat him down and he said, now, I could, of course, impose some sort of restriction or something else on you. Not restriction. He can't do that. The captain only can do that. But he said, instead, I want you to think about this. If Captain Joe saw that, what would he say? And the young sailor said, I'd not thought about that. And so it was agreed right away that FTG would be obliterated from that foul weather jacket. So for the length of time that that young sailor sailed in that ship, he had a foul weather jacket that had this great big black spot on the back. And I tell you this story because the actions for good that we take can move on. They can become a ripple. And those things happen to us here, even in our smallest place in the world. So that's what I have to say about all of that, about the election, about what we're going to do, what I am going to do. I am going to continue to be your Captain Joe just the same as I've always been. You've heard me say all of these things before. You'll hear me say them over and over again, all the way up until it's time for me to cross the bar. I hope that's a long way off because I've got lots of work to do and many people to continue to take care of and many people for whom I am your Captain Joe. And we have a couple minutes left, and I've taken maybe a little bit longer than all of you want. on the subject of the election and how I view it. But I've got an endorsement. One of the things that came to me in my traffic a couple of weeks ago was an advert for a company called Black Rifle Coffee. Black Rifle Coffee, the company that makes and sells Black Rifle Coffee, is owned and operated exclusively by veterans, people like us. I said, that's got to be a pretty good operation. And so I sent them the requisite credit card information, and I placed an order, and I got back very quickly and packed in a most seaman-like way the selection of Black Rifle Coffee that I had picked out. I am telling you now that this is a really good product. You all know that when I endorse, when I say something good about a particular company or a particular product, that that company and product has never come to me and asked me to say something about it. If they had, I would not do it. I am recommending Black Rifle Coffee. There is no decaf that I could find in the catalog, so you get really strong stuff. It comes in beans. You grind it up. You make wonderful, if you are a sailor and you like engine room coffee that comes from steam-powered ships where the coffee is made on one of the steam lines, you will not be disappointed. There are a couple of Navy reliefs, but one which struck me, and this is going to be my final item for today. The commanding officer of a command, Navy command, called the Navy Leadership and Ethics Command has been relieved for a lack of leadership and apparently some violation of his own ethics mission. What is the mission of the Navy Leadership and Ethics Command? It beats the hell out of me, and I'm going to find out, and I'm going to report it. But it is a sad commentary when the Navy, and I consider myself as almost as much a naval officer as I do a Coast Guard officer, because I've spent a lot of time under Navy operational control, that would have to establish a command called the Navy Leadership and Ethics Command. What is its mission? What are they supposed to do? Each one of us should be exhibiting the highest levels of leadership and ethics. And when we fail, as each one of us does at one time or another, that we do the best to get it, make it right. And in particular, if we fail in our responsibility to those that we are privileged to command, that we make that right just as quickly and as much out in the open as we possibly can. All of these things are part of the military ethos, part of the whole subject of leadership and ethics. And here it comes. You'll not be surprised to hear me say this. The whole thing gets down to this. We accomplish the mission. We take care of those who are entrusted to us to carry out that mission. The good general makes sure that his men and horses are fed before himself, and the captain shall show no fear. With all of those things, dear ones, know that my big birthday, 90th birthday celebration here on the Magical Island is this weekend, and I repeat again, as I did last week, if any of Captain Joe's people would want to come to that, and for one reason or another did not receive any of the traffic about it, send me a signal at CaptainJoe@CenturyTel.net, and I will make sure that you are included. And with all of that, this is your Captain Joe. I remain, as always, on station and watching properly. And we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. We will meet again right here a week from today. And when we meet here, have a report on that great birthday celebration that is going to happen here on the magical Isle of Vashon. Watch out for each other's six, and we will foregather here, quarters for muster, at 12:30 a week from today.